this program to give you a bulletin just received from one of our naval units at sea. A large object traveling at supersonic speed is headed over the North Atlantic toward the east coast of the United States.
This is H.V. Kaltenborn speaking. Here in the nation's capital, there is anxiety and concern, but no outward sign of panic.
And good evening. Well, here we are again, once again on a Saturday night. My name is Don Ecker. The show is UFOs Tonight, and you are listening to the Cable Radio Network. You know, this program is broadcast from coast to coast. It's carried over satellite. It's on television cable systems around the country. And if you've been listening for any length of time at all, you know that each week at this time, we discuss one of mankind's most misunderstood yet fascinating and mysterious phenomenon. And that, of course, is the phenomenon of UFOs. But let's face it, UFOs would not be UFOs without the people that are in the field. Now, you know that I'm the director of research for UFO Magazine, and that you know that UFO Magazine is one of the most legitimate publications available anywhere because of the type of reporting and investigations that we do. We don't only just zero in on the phenomenon, but when the time is right, when it's needed, we also zero in on personalities in the field. In the pages of this magazine, I personally, over the years, have exposed a number of people that we have found to be fraudulent in the UFO field. One of the things that we've been noted for is the reporting that we will not shirk from telling the truth when we feel that, number one, someone is out there misleading the public, outright lying to the public, or is so outrageous that they place this research, this phenomenon, in such a ludicrous light that we feel that we have to take a stand. If you've listened to my broadcast a number of weeks ago, you heard my lecture that I gave at the Triad Conference in San Diego, and the terrible, terrible place that this field of research is in currently. Well, tonight we are going to be devoting a show to hoaxes, sociopaths, and outright crazy people in the field. And I titled the short version, if you tuned in last week, as Bird Poop. Well, we are going to first lead off the program with a special broadcast, and I want you to listen up real closely. And when this is over, we'll be back with my two in-studio guests, and they are Mr. Russell Estes, television producer, who's appeared here before, the gentleman that's been working on the 13-part series on UFO research, and another gentleman that I'm delighted to have that's appeared in here before, Dr. William Cohn. Dr. Cohn is a mental health professional, and he has been involved in research in this field. So, hey, stay tuned. I promise you're going to have a fascinating night, and listen up to this. You're going to love it.
We met Dr. Bird at the Truth About UFOs conference in San Diego, California. He was a guest speaker and drew a fair crowd to his session. His topic of discussion was the Middle Earth theory, and his claim to fame was that he was the nephew of the great explorer, Admiral Richard Byrd. Harley Byrd's relationship to Admiral Byrd was the very thing that interested us. We exchanged cards with Mr. Byrd and asked if he would be available for an interview. He was very responsive and asked us to call and set up an appointment. Over the course of the next 3 months, a number of appointments were set, and all of them were canceled and rescheduled by Mr. Byrd. At this point, we were beginning to think that something was smelling pretty fishy. We had offered to come to Mr. Byrd's home, or if he wished, he could come to us for his interview. But nothing seemed to work out for him. It was time to give it one last try. Mr. Byrd was told that this would be the last time that we would call him. If he wanted to be interviewed, he would have to set an appointment that he would keep, or just tell us that he changed his mind and didn't want any part of it. We set a date to meet at the home of his friend, Andy Reese, because Mr. Byrd's apartment was too small, and he couldn't get out to us. Needless to say, His clandestine behavior raised some questions in our minds even before the actual interview. On the day of the interview, we met at Mr. Reese's apartment and prepared for the interview. Mr. Bird was wearing a medal around his neck and a pair of glasses without any glass in them. He also brought a number of props and a wardrobe change. The other wardrobe was a paramilitary uniform with braid, shoulder boards, and insignias. We told him that the blue blazer that he was wearing would be more appropriate for this interview. He seemed a bit disappointed that we didn't want his military costume. We can cut slack for eccentricities, but this was getting out of hand. As we were about to start the interview, Harley asked us to interview Andy first. We had not intended to interview anyone but Mr. Bird, and it turned out that Harley had promised Andy that he would be interviewed if he would let us use his apartment for the Bird interview. Do we have a case of manipulation? Yes, I think we do. After driving 100 miles, we figured the easiest thing to do was to interview Andy and just get on with it. The Andy Reese interview was pleasant enough. Andy was friendly, articulate, and had a fair amount of information. Finally, we start the Harley Bird interview and the red flags begin to fly. We would like to show you some of this interview and some of the many inconsistencies and outright lies that we encountered.
I was born in Mississippi in 1938 during the Tupelo flash floods. That same night, a director and young writer-producer produced a spoof stage play in New York City at the Mercury Theater called Invasion from Mars. And that was my first year. We were fortunate living in an old rundown place, plantation house, very much like the one you saw in Carl Malden's Baby Jane or whatever that was.
Well, we don't have to get that exact.
Well, anyway, then we moved up back to Virginia, Westchester, and we lived with William, my grandfather. My father, Leverett, Admiral Byrd's younger brother, went on to the Naval Academy and didn't do quite as well as the Admiral. Always lived in the shadow of the Admiral. So Admiral Byrd was mostly always my hero, as well as my father. I finished secondary education in Stillwater, Oklahoma, a university town, and lived on campus from 15 till the time I was 17 and joined the United States Navy. And during boot camp, I was awarded a ceremonial honor guard station for Commander Shackelford, who was evidently working with the Shackelford family in the previous expeditions in the North Pole, knew who my family was. And well, he said I was the right height and I had the right characteristics for the honor guard tour. So I was first sent on the U.S. Navy honor guard there in Anacostia in 1956. And we were doing security review work there at the base, guys rolling in and out of the base, and they were ripping off tires and batteries. So I caught some guys and they gave me a hero's medal and a security clearance and gave me a pickup truck with a 45.
We'll see how serious this gets.
You asked me how it all started. This is in 1956, my first year in the United States Navy. So I was transferred to...
It's funny, it doesn't look like a 1956 medal.
Well, actually, this is representative of my my National Defense Medal, my Korean Conflict Medal, and my two Good Conduct Medals. Transferred from UCLA to Berkeley to do some advanced physics work at the Lawrence Radiation Laboratory.
That was your chosen profession at the time?
Yes. High particles physics.
Mm-hmm. What did Admiral Byrd discover?
He discovered on all this, he made four major expeditions, okay. 27 was a flyover, dropped the flags at the South Pole. He dropped the United Nations flags at the South Pole, Little Antarctica, where he set up his base. The second expedition in 1929, 2 years later, he went back to the Antarctica. This was in 1938, on his third expedition, he flew in a piggyback plane that was carried up on his snow cruiser built by Edsel Ford for $1 million. and then went back in 1956 for his last expedition called Operation High Jump.
Object of the game here is to get a message out to the American people.
Yeah.
What would you like to get out to the American people?
That I know more about UFOs than anybody else in the world.
Harry Bird has made many claims, both in print and in interviews. The following
and
claims
and are just now coming back. Joining me in studio is Mr. Russ Estes, whom you heard doing the interview. And joining Mr. Estes is Dr. William Cohn. Gentlemen, I'd like to thank you both for coming in. This audio tape was rather interesting, Russ. Do you want to explain some of those sound effects?
Well, sure, Dan. That was a portion of the quality of the messenger, and the quality of Harley Bird is sound effects, by golly, yes. Every time you heard a sound effect, it was a Harley Bird lie. For starters, let's see, he claimed to have been the nephew of Admiral Richard Byrd. Absolutely preposterous. He claimed that his father's name was Leverett Byrd. In fact, his father's name is Everett Byrd, alive and well and living in Southern California. He claimed that his grandfather, William Byrd, he went to live with him. His grandfather, of course, was not William Byrd. The great-grandfather Richard Byrd is William. Richard Byrd's father is Richard Byrd Sr., matter of fact. All the genealogy charts are sitting right here in front of us. The man claimed a Korean conflict service medal. That's very interesting, being that he claimed that he went into the service in 1956 and the Korean conflict was over in 1954. So it goes on and on and on. He never attended any of the universities that he claimed to attend. He's never worked anywhere he claimed to work. The man, aside from being a fraud, is just a little bit off kilter, Don.
Well, what made you decide to zero in on this particular case?
Well, to be very honest, the fact is I interviewed Harley Bird because he claimed to be the nephew of a famous man.
Oh, he's been doing the lecture circuit out here, especially in Southern California, for years with this Hollow Earth business.
Well, sure. But the funny thing is, you'll notice every time the man mentioned one of the explorations of Richard Byrd, mm-hmm. I put a sound effect in there.
Right.
He doesn't have any of the dates right, Don. None of the dates are right.
You know, when you asked me to be a part of quality of the messenger, and we were talking basically about people in the UFO field that were misrepresenting themselves or cases and so forth, and I agreed. I initially had no idea what this would entail. But you know, one of the reasons that I wanted to do tonight's show also, and a lot of people out there may be wondering, you see this folder of paper I have here that's about 3 inches high?
Yeah, it's similar to all the ones I have in front of me.
You've got two of them, or three of them over there. Well, this is paper that was sent to me from Mr. Byrd under a variety of names. From a variety of different locations with all the same postmark, Van Nuys. And one of the most recent ones involved a death threat that I received that you saw.
Oh, yeah.
Along with some phonied up arrest warrants and wanted posters and what have you.
Well, he doesn't like Vietnam veterans either.
I know that. Before he decided to get mad at me, he had sent me some letters telling me about that. But, you know, the thing that amazed me when this stuff started to come in, and I know you also were trying to contact somebody in the law enforcement community that would do something
about
this.
Yes.
I called the LAPD. I called the postal inspector. I called the FBI. And finally, we were able to get some action when Mr. Byrd phonied up a piece of letterhead from the LA Sheriff's Department.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, he's forged a zillion names. There's no doubt about that, including Willie Williams. But then he forges a captain on the L.A. Sheriff's Department. I had it here. What was the guy's name?
Stephen Day,
who happens to be an active duty captain. He didn't like having his name forged, did he?
Well, that's when finally one law enforcement agency decided to do something after all this time. But, Bill, Dr. Cohn, you've been involved now in this field for quite a while. What is your professional opinion on what would make someone act out like this? I know that this has to be fascinating for you because you've been sitting over there with a smirk on your face for the last 10 minutes. What is your professional opinion?
Well, first of all, let me say that I've only met Harley Bird once, and that was for about 5 minutes, so I'm not going to try and diagnose the man personally, but what I see here in front of me looks like a person with what we call a delusional disorder. This is a person that has a very weak sense of self, a very weak sense of worth, and covers that up with grandiosity, trying to make themselves special somehow, have a position of importance, and also has delusions of persecution. And if you have delusions of persecution, the way you react to that is you send out hate mail to get the people that are after you.
Dr. Cohn, yeah. Now you've seen all of these letters. You see some of them signed St. Michael Aquino and Lieutenant Colonel Michael Aquino, and you see other ones that are signed Assistant Director of the CIA. You notice that they're all on the same typewriter.
And spelled very bad.
And you notice what the spelling is on all of them.
Right.
You notice the whiteout on all of them. Now, looking at that, and I realize you're not a handwriting analyst, but you are a practicing clinical psychologist. Looking at the form, looking at the language, looking at the horrid spelling and the lousy grammar, how does that help you to diagnose the type of individual that you see?
Well, it's a man with a delusional disorder with a poor education on top of it and a very bad typewriter.
But by God, he claimed to be a high particles physicist.
Well, what is it about the UFO field that draws so many individuals like that into it? I mean, you know, for years we've been... legitimate researchers have been cursed with being painted with a brush of ludicrousness. The media has almost universally sneered at this subject, and a lot of the reason is because it's been infiltrated with so many delusional people. What is it that draws these people into this field?
Well, the main thing I think that draws people with delusional disorders into this field is they believe that they have something to do with this field. A lot of people with delusional disorders have a difficult time telling reality from fantasy. They have a difficult time telling their own unconscious internal generated memories from reality. And because they have that weak sense of self, they need to feel important. And this is a field where you can get important really fast. You can be instantly famous. You can get a lot of attention. And a lot of people will listen to you. They'll listen to the delusions that nobody else will listen to because we in this field are very interested in unusual phenomena, unusual information.
Is this also a desire to believe?
Very much. A desire to
So basically what you're saying is that even though the intelligence quotient of the planet has pretty much remained stable, it's just the population that has grown?
That's good.
That was good. I like that. That was good.
You know, we've got a call. We've got a call in here from Ray in Vermont. Let's see what's on Ray's mind. Good evening, Ray.
Hey, good evening, Don. How are you?
I got your state right this week.
Well, I'd like to lose this state since I moved up here. Nothing but a bunch of liberals and socialists up here. They've completely taken over the whole damn state.
I was just going to start singing Moonlight in Vermont, too. Gosh.
Well, Vermont's not what it's cracked up to be. It's a big myth about Vermont. But anyway, speaking about myths and oddballs, this guy is an obvious fruitcake. But did you happen to see last night's show on Fox Network called Encounters, the UFO Conspiracy?
Well, I saw the... can you hear me, Ray?
Sure.
Oh, okay. I saw the first run of this last night. But as a matter of fact, I was doing another radio show last night at 8 o'clock, so I didn't watch the rerun of Fox Encounters.
And I must admit I missed it also.
Okay, I think you guys would be interested. They had, towards the end, they had two pieces. Basically, this Guardian stuff with Bob...
Oh, Bob Exler stuff.
Huh? Oh, yeah. And then... this idiot Bob Lazar, who claims to be, witness reverse technology.
Who was that?
Bob Lazar.
Uh huh.
Claims to have worked out in Area 51.
Right.
I was being facetious.
Yeah, and these two birds need to be that they had sound effects and they had some guy running away, chasing them through backyards, who was supposed to be Guardian, and it was all staged like a Hollywood...
you know, Ray, it was pretty interesting, being as how they know where the man lives. If they really would like to find him, they just had to camp out in his front door.
Well, they did, and they claim they had him all staked out, and they had the video on the show last night. It was just... I was laughing. It was just...
I'd like to talk to Bob Lazar's mother and see if he really did have a past.
Well, you know, you talk about this Guardian tape. We had covered that extensively months ago, Ray. That particular case... we looked into it a number of years ago, and we came to the conclusion then, because of the absolutely ludicrous paperwork that came with it. This whole thing was a red herring.
Oh, yeah. It was so obvious, Don. They had one good segment on there about the Long Island crash about 2 years ago in the South Haven Park, where there was a lot of magnetic evidence, and the videotape seemed to substantiate the testimony of the witnesses, and as a former cop, he would lend a little credence to that. But basically, the show was a farce, and this is what's ruining it for the people out there who really want to listen to people like you, and I really congratulate you for doing this show, because I think I've called you a number of other times where I told you what I felt about the UFO community, some of the people who are in it, and a lot of people tend to throw the baby out with the bathwater, and they say, well, all these UFO guys are nuts because of these few nuts that we have in our group here. But they're getting all the attention on TV, and I don't know why. And speaking of TV, Don, when's your show coming on the air?
We've been working on something for some time now. It's there's some things happening with it, but that's about all I can say at this point.
Well, anyway, I'll hang up and let somebody else get a chance to get in, but I wish you'd talk a little about some of these other guys who are not so obvious to the general populace as this
person. Oh, well, I think you can count on that, Ray.
Okay, buddy. Sayonara.
You take care.
Right.
Bye-bye. Let's see. Where in the heck are we here?
Can I mention something?
Absolutely.
You know, it's a point that Ray brought up about some of the few nuts in the field causing the problems from everyone. You know, the horrible thing is I came into this about 3 years ago with a very open mind and a belief that something is taking place. And as a member of the media, I'm ashamed to say I did an appearance on the Montel Williams show, and they put a slug under my name that says, does not believe UFOs exist. That is the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. I always believed UFOs existed. I still believe they exist. But I believe that these people in the industry that are the obvious frauds, the obvious lunatics, make it harder and harder for the real information to get out. It is just so doggone self-destructive to have people like this paraded around at the conferences. They are so blatant. I can't believe that people buy into it.
Well, you know, it's like some of the conferences that are being held back east by, for example, the people that put out the magazine UFO Universe.
Sure, yeah.
That particular magazine has always taken an extraordinarily sensational approach to the subject, in many cases an out-and-out fraudulent take on the subject. And the individuals that they have brought into some of these conferences with some of these outrageous claims just do nothing but destroy the field overall. And that's one of the reasons why I think mainstream science in this country, and maybe Dr. Cohn will bear me out on this, mainstream science refuses to look at this because of the ludicrousness that's displayed.
Well, absolutely. I mean, there are so many nutcases in the field that it scares off anybody that wants to do legitimate research. As a matter of fact, I've had a lot of trouble with that because when I go to talk somewhere, what I have to say isn't really sensationalistic, and it's not extreme skepticism, and it's not extreme gullibility, and people don't find that interesting. And that's when you're talking about why do these people muck up the waters for everybody. It's because they're interesting, they're exciting, they're outrageous, and people are attracted to that. It's entertainment. It's not research, it's entertainment.
But yet they'll scream, I'm a researcher, I'm a researcher. And they'll scream, we don't do this for money, so you have to listen to us.
Absolutely.
Which is absolutely untrue, by the way. Everybody I have found does it for money.
And I don't see a heck of a lot of research going on in this field. I see a lot of talking, a lot of theories, a lot of positions, not a lot of research.
And it's sad because something is going on.
Oh, undoubtedly something is going on. Let's see what Vince in Tucson has to say. Good evening, Vince.
Hello, Don. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How about yourself?
Good. I got some questions on, have you all come across the Dr. Norma Milanovic?
Milanovic?
Yeah. I haven't seen her other than I've heard she was here in Tucson, and I didn't pay to go see her, but I was wondering what if they had come across her in the past, what her story was.
That name is familiar, but then I've heard the name before, Vince, but I couldn't give any insight whatsoever on that.
Yeah, supposedly she had to do something with receiving messages over her computer or something.
What's she a doctor of, Vince?
I have no idea. I really don't know anything about her. You know, I didn't even bother to go watch the thing.
You're saying she's receiving extraterrestrial messages over her computer?
Totally from the Pleiades, I guess.
Most likely she's hooked up to America Online.
Pleiadian Online.
That's possible.
Zeta Reticuli Online.
How about a guy like Wes Bateman? Now, I've seen him talk. And
maybe Ashtar Online.
Is pretty shaky also. But have you ever... Have you looked into him?
Wes Bateman? That's a name that... you're shaking your head, Russ. Do you know
who Wes is. I must admit that I've not really heard much about him, but people who I do respect think that he has some very interesting information. You know, I have no problem with information that seems far out because the whole phenomena seems far out. I really have a problem with the quality of the messenger. I have never heard anything bad about Wes Bateman. I really can't give you any personal insight.
Okay. Well, I just watched him give a lecture on he drew a little map, a two-dimensional map, and talked about earthquakes and that they would have a UFO sighting 7,000 miles away. And his diagram is a good diagram, except that it doesn't represent a three-dimensional Earth. And what he was trying to show is the rate path of the acoustic waves as they go through the Earth.
And, sounds interesting.
It's interesting in that he got part of it right, but didn't manage to explain it in a three-dimensional detail where, you know, those acoustic waves pass through the Earth, and they show up about 7,000 miles away, but all the way around the Earth. It's not focused on one spot.
Well, is he a professional in the field? Should he have been able to articulate it better?
I don't think he's a professional in the field, but he was claiming that this information was given to him or something like
uh-huh.
that. So, yeah, I mean, if they're
did he say who was giving him the information?
No.
Well, you know, we all played the Mary Had a Little Lamb game in school. And, you know, when information is given to you, it usually has a habit of getting warped just slightly.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody will whisper somebody into somebody's ear or something, and you'll watch it go around in a circle.
And that's not just a flaw in this field.
No,
that's life.
No, that's life. And by the time it gets back to the person that initiated it, 9 times out of 10, you can't even recognize it. Okay, Vince, we are just about at the half hour, but I want to thank you for your call. Keep listening and keep them eyes pointed upward.
Okay, Don, thanks.
Okay. Let's see. I wanted to, I guess, you know, now we've already been taking calls, but we haven't been giving out any phone numbers. So I guess maybe we ought to be giving out some phone numbers.
I think somebody knows the numbers.
If you'd like to join tonight's conversation and you're within the 818-213 or 310 area codes.
And before we go to the break, I'm already a little past due on giving out some information here. The ufologist at 77. We're at the half hour. We'll be back right after these words. Don't go anywhere. And hey, keep those eyes pointed up.
That's UFO Magazine, a forum on extraordinary theories and phenomena.
Kathy, you didn't get those tongue wrap around your eye teeth and couldn't see what you were not saying.
Legends were born surrounding the mysterious lights seen in the sky.
Not only mysterious lights, but mysterious people. I've got here, Russ, and I'm holding them up here. Can everybody see that? These are a number of documents that are alleging to come from the municipal courts. And it says here, I'm being sued in this one for, what is this, $10 million? I'm being sued in this one for $10,000. And in this one, I'm being sued for... God, I can't wait. Wait a minute. It's all whited out and
Don,
written over.
Don, I see your bogus court documents and raise you six. Boy, is there a bunch of paperwork? You know, Harley Bird spends so much in postage.
I'd like to have his money for postage.
Isn't that the truth? You know, the funny thing is, here's a document that I got from good old HB, and it says Municipal Courts, and I'm going to give the address. It says 14452 Irwin Street, Los Angeles, California. Harley, the Municipal Courts at 14400 Irwin Street, Van Nuys, California. You should know that. You live in Van Nuys, California, and all your postmarks are Van Nuys, California, even the ones that supposedly have an address in Washington, D.C. Yeah? What about it, Don?
let's see. This one is to inform me that I'm being sued for $10.2 million. Bill, you don't need any paper for any of your other clients to draw on or anything, do you? I've got a lot of it over here. I can let you have really cheap. What do you do about this? The cops wouldn't do anything about it. The post office didn't want to hear it. The postal inspector didn't want to hear it, this death threat. The FBI didn't want to hear it. What do you do?
I think you don't go out and
knock hell out of somebody.
No,
do you?
I think the best thing to do is ignore it. I mean, it's some of these documents that I've looked at are so ludicrous that I mean, you just have to laugh at them. I don't. If you start to take this seriously, you get sucked into the same vortex that this man has been sucked in.
Oh yeah, yeah. I understand that. But you know, it's still annoying. I mean, let's face it. In just day-to-day commerce, it's annoying. Oh yeah, that's a good one here.
You get this one here
from the LA Times, supposedly top producer honored.
I call the Times.
He's not a physicist in this
no,
one.
Now
he's a producer.
Now he's a producer. But okay. He's a lawyer. He's a physicist. He's a doctor. He's a producer. He's a nutcase.
Let's take some.
And by
phone
the way,
calls.
Please sue me.
Let's take some phone calls. We've got Paul calling us from Escondido on Dimension. Good evening, Paul.
Yeah, hi, Don. Say, I saw you on TV the other night. That looked pretty interesting.
Oh, hey, I'm telling you, those, if you've been listening to the program, you heard me mention a few weeks ago some of this this footage that I had just seen. What I didn't mention at the time is that I had just gone down to Roswell, New Mexico. But some of that, and you didn't even see the good stuff. Okay, that footage you saw last night was some of the better stuff, but there's some things in there that were truly breathtaking.
Yeah. Yeah, the reason why I call, I've always said, even though I'm a skeptic, but I've always said you're reasonable and fair, and I'm glad you're doing this show, because if you get rid of these people, you'd get a lot more people interested. I mean, you know.
Well, the only way that we'll ever get anywhere is when we're willing to clean our own house, and unfortunately, there are not many people in this field that will do that. We've seen researchers like, for example, Stanton Friedman, who's one of his primary witnesses in his last book, has been proven to be a liar and a hoaxer. And, you know, he seems to have an inability to step back and reexamine this guy's testimony and claims.
Yeah, I was wondering, you know, it's if you only, you know, all you are people like you, if you could get somebody full time to thoroughly check the backgrounds of these people. You know, that's your, you could weed them out like that.
It only takes a few minutes to check the backgrounds of some of these claims.
Yeah,
it's phenomenal.
True.
And every individual out there that's listening to these people should take it upon themselves to ask the logical questions. You're Dr. So-and-so, what are you a doctor of? I mean,
yeah.
if a person who has spent so many years working towards their doctorate, you don't think they're going to tell you? Wow, I'm a doctor of this, I'm a doctor of that, I went to Harvard. They're going to be very proud of it.
Yeah, I got a list of names for you, okay. Billy Myers, I believe, fraud. Bill
yes.
Cooper.
Fraud.
Fraud. John Lear.
Fraud.
Fraud. Bob Lazar.
Unknown.
That's Don saying all those things, by the way.
Unknown.
And how about the guy that's been making all the talk shows about the Philadelphia experiment, claims he was transported in the future?
Al Bielek?
You mean they're putting Bielek on television now?
No, he was on a radio show a couple weeks ago, I heard once.
That's Al Bielek, spelled F-R-A-U-D.
Yeah, he's a fraud too, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, but you know something, and this is the sad part, and this is what keeps people away from this field. The very people you're mentioning fill houses at UFO conferences. I have sat there and watched men, pardon me, no older than 21, sitting there with their mouths hanging down to their knees and a little spittle coming off the corner of their mouth, listening to John Lear with their eyes bugged out. As long as people will go and listen to these people, as long as they fill the rooms, they will be at the conferences, as long as they are at the conferences, and I have to admit, television producers such as myself will get sucked into them because they're the people that are out there. The reason
right.
I was attracted to them.
You know, ever since I was a kid, I've had a lot more fun at a circus than I ever had at any kind of convention, and I think that's what makes people go see these people talk, is because they're entertaining. They're fascinating. They
absolutely. And Russ, I wish you would open up and tell us what you really think.
Well, hey, I admit it. I got sucked in. No doubt about it.
Well, how do you go about, you know, because you have people say, well, I had a very high security clearance, like CIA or something. How can you verify that, though? You know,
well, you can't. You can't. You have to use logic, for starters. I have sitting before me a check made out for $1 million. Dated June 1st, 1993, paid to the order of Harley Andrew Bird. This check was sent to me by Jim Mosley.
Saucer Smear.
Saucer Smear. Been around a long time. He said, Russ, this, you know, this guy's a nutcase. I know he's a nutcase, but this check looks really real. You have to use your brain. The first thing you do is look at the check. Yeah, it looks like a real check, just like every other check that comes out of a sample book. And you look at the city, Eastminster Trust Company, Eastminster, New York. Eastminster, New York is non-existent USA, by the way, folks. And they use it on all dummy checks. And if you look at the phone number, you see a 555 phone number. When's the last time you heard of a 555 phone number?
Last time I watched television. That's the prefix
the dummy,
they always give
dummy
on
dummy exchange.
Yeah,
right. Gee, I'd say this check's real.
Don.
Yes.
Do you know? I'm sure you do. His name's George. I forget his last name. He used to run a TV station in Las Vegas. He's
George Knapp.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, he's pretty honest because he tells it like it is. From what
he didn't run it. He was the news director of KLAS television,
yeah.
and he's absolutely done some fantastic investigation. Yes,
and he's a journalist.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, because he also he won't hesitate in a minute if he finds somebody to be a phony, you know.
Absolutely. Paul, we've got to run along,
okay.
But I want to thank
you
for
your... I'll always be listening and hope one day, because I really hope there are extraterrestrials.
Well, you know, I had somebody tell me last week that they were really mad at me because I've been telling everybody to keep your eyes to the skies, but he said, you know, I ran into something. So while you're keeping your eyes to the skies, look around to make sure you're not going to run into something, okay?
All right.
Okay. Let's go to Lee in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and Lee is joining us on satellite.
Good evening, Don.
Good evening.
Yes, sir. My question for you was, how did Robert Berry figure into all this in his little program that ran out of Pennsylvania? And I'll hop off and just listen.
Well, Bob Berry was a gentleman that for years tried to shine a light on this UFO subject. Bob recently, about a year ago, passed away. As a matter of fact, I mentioned that on this show at the time, we were very sorry and very saddened to lose him. But Bob was advanced in years. His wife, originally, it was my understanding, was going to try to continue with his work, but then for whatever reason, she decided to drop it. And as of right now, his show, which delighted so many people, is no longer aired.
Okie doke. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Bye-bye. Okay, the phone number, 818-352-7156 this evening, Dr. William Cohn, a clinical psychologist, mental health professional who's done a lot of work in the abduction phenomenon, and Mr. Russ Estes, who has been a television producer for years, has been recently working on a 13-part UFO series. And Russ, the quality of the messenger originally was a part of your initial 13-part series.
No, not really.
No?
No, never was.
But the tape, the footage that you shot was going to be included in that?
Yes. Yes. The footage that I shot, originally we went out and did interviews only for the reason of putting them in the documentary. Yeah, I can't hear through the headsets either, Don, but I'm sure the folks out there can hear us.
We're hoping they can.
But I never intended to do what one would call an expose. But it just became increasingly frustrating as I tried to get into the scientific community, and I brought you a copy of the letter from NASA here. As I tried to get into the scientific community and I kept on getting doors slammed in my face, I kept on wondering why. And they kept telling me, because of all the nutcases that keep knocking on our doors. And then I started looking a little harder. And then after that interview with Harley, that just tripped my triggers. I just couldn't handle it anymore. And I just sat down as a private citizen and started checking the way any human being out there could. Started checking credentials. And they all came up bogus. So I felt the need to do Quality of the Messenger. And do I get to plug it, by the way?
Sure.
Well, super. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to get a copy of the Quality of the Messenger, how's that for my radio voice? You can send $34.95 plus $3 shipping and handling to CSP Marketing. Now, two.
Say that three times real fast.
I can't. But I will say something else. For anyone out there, being that it is so important to get this message out, anyone out there that wants to send me a blank, high-grade videotape, and $4 shipping and handling, I will send you a copy of the Harley Bird expose portion of the Quality of the Messenger free of charge.
Well, that's a heck of a deal. So can I get one of those, too?
Sure, for sure. Hey, we got an audio version, too, but I hope somebody taped it here. They didn't get the whole thing. But I feel it's really important because we're not going to get the questions answered as long as the doors are slammed in our faces. And the doors get slammed because of all the marginal individuals that make more noise than the logical people.
Okay, now wait a minute. We've talked about what we didn't like about this when you were doing your 13-part series.
Uh-huh.
Let me take this phone call. When we come back, I want to hear what you and Bill Cohn liked or were fascinated most by in this phenomenon. We're going to go to Kathy in Ventura, who's joining us on Century. Kathy!
Hey, Don, how you doing?
I'm real good.
That's
how about
good.
You?
Oh, I've been pretty busy lately. Haven't had a chance to say hi.
Oh, and for all you mothers out there, I almost forgot. Let me wish you all a very heartfelt Mother's Day wish.
Hi, Mom.
Oh, that's pretty good. For the gentleman here, the student discussing Mr. Bird there, I had read back a few months ago in one of the magazines that I get on UFOs that supposedly when Admiral Byrd had gone on one of his expeditions, he had found some type of a large opening at the South Pole.
Yes.
If you're hearing that via Harley Byrd, don't buy it.
I think that might have been where it was. There was supposedly an underground cavern that had a green valley and all that. It sounded like something out of Shangri-La.
Well, you know, he was, I believe, featured several times in UFO Universe magazine. And the recently defunct Larry Flint publication, Far Out magazine.
Uh-huh.
Far Gone.
Yeah, Far Gone. Now it's Far Gone. It used to be Far Out.
Far Out's out of business now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No wonder I haven't seen it lately. It's, new
yeah, it's Far Gone.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the UFO library, that's better than some comic books. I gave up buying comic books when I started buying that.
The fact of the matter is, the Middle Earth theory has gone back to the 1700s,
uh-huh.
if not before.
Right.
It's a very interesting theory. It holds no water,
uh-huh.
but as far as Admiral Byrd and his exploits, if any of it comes via Harley Byrd, he doesn't even know the dates of the expeditions.
Hmm. Is he sure he knows who he is?
I don't think he does.
he does not know who he is.
Now, his father does, and I've talked to his father, but he doesn't know who he is.
Strange.
Yeah.
Okay, that's really good. Thank you for the answer. And Don, big hello to you and to Vicki.
Well, thank you, Kathy.
Hope to see you soon again at the club sometime.
Well, as soon as we get another invite, we'll probably
okay,
come up that way.
I think we have an upcoming list.
Okay.
And could the gentleman repeat the address again for that tape, and I'll be shipping him out a blank tape soon.
Absolutely. That's CSP Marketing 2392.
Okay, and that's a blank tape and $4.
You
right?
Send me a blank tape and $4, I'll knock you off
now,
that guy.
That's an audio tape. Or, I'm sorry, that's a video
that's
tape.
That's a video tape.
Yeah.
I'll knock you off that Harley Bird section expose. It's about 10 minutes worth of the tape, and I'll send it to you free of charge.
Okay, you got it.
You want the whole tape, it's $34.95.
Okay.
I'm in the whole tape. Yeah. I'm in the whole tape. And Bill Cohn's
Bill
in the
Cohn's
whole
in
tape.
There. We also have another tape.
Oh, my goodness.
It's called Alien Abductions.
Wow.
Alternative Explanations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's by Dr. Bill Cohn.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, well, thanks a lot, guys.
Okay,
and
Kathy.
And I'll continue listening.
And you have a happy Mom's Day.
Oh, and you too.
Okay. No, not me. Not me,
Don, that's Mother's Day.
Yes. I know what you're going to say, and you're on radio, don't.
Okay.
Let's go to line one. We've got Ernie in Burbank on Sammons. Good evening, Ernie.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Okay.
Good.
What's
All right.
on your mind tonight?
All right, well, I just have a couple questions on some credibility of a couple people that we seem to see a lot on these UFO shows, like Encounters last night.
Okay.
Number one, I was wondering if you guys could... tell us a little bit about the credibility of Bruce Maccabee, Guardian, that whole, you know, the tape, the authenticity of the tape.
Right.
And Jesse Marcel's son, who's, I guess, a doctor in New Mexico?
No, he's in Helena, Montana.
But he is a doctor.
Yes,
okay.
He is a doctor.
And like, how his how he's doing and all this with the story of his dad. And then, maybe you can let us know how we can get behind the congressman down in New Mexico who's trying to get those documents over.
I would be absolutely delighted. First off, let's start with Guardian.
Okay.
Okay. In my opinion, there is not a shred of any evidence to suggest that anything about that case has anything to do with extraterrestrial intelligence. The Guardian case originally came down to us at UFO Magazine literally in a plain brown envelope, no return address from Canada, with some of the most outrageous grade triple Z science fiction scenario you've ever heard. And then the videotape came out. The people that have been pushing this, Bob Exler, among others, and Dr. Bruce Maccabee, I do not have a lot of faith in either Exler or Dr. Maccabee at this point. Now, Bruce was a guest on this show. I featured him in a series of investigations in UFO Magazine. Mm-hmm. It came out that Bruce, since 1979, has in fact been periodically briefing the Central Intelligence Agency covertly on the UFO field and on certain times personalities within the field.
Right.
Now, everybody, you know, I've had people say, well, what the heck's the matter with that? I mean, you know, the CIA is part of America, and they are. But it is a known fact that since at least 1953, the agency has been running disinformation. They have been running observation on certain people within the UFO field. And let's face it, the UFO field is a ripe field for intelligence manipulations.
Right.
Let's trot something out and see how it will go through this small field of people before we trot it out into a bigger arena, for example. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Anybody that works with the intelligence agencies, especially when it's covertly in this field, has to be suspect.
Right.
Because of the type of information that we are dealing with and how our government has treated this information. What do you guys think about this? Either of you, Bob or Bob. Oh, let me get going here. Russ, Bill, what do you think about that?
Well, I think Guardian's a bunch of poop.
Bird poop?
Yeah, bird poop too.
Okay.
I think that Guardian is a helicopter, and it's quite obvious that Guardian is a helicopter. I've seen the footage, and I've seen it taken apart. I understand that Bruce Maccabee is definitely Dr. Bruce Maccabee. I understand that he's definitely a member of the intelligence community. I also understand, after spending most of my life in the industry, that there is no way in hell that you're going to look at a piece of videotape and say, gee, that's authentic. It doesn't work that way. Videotape works in lines of resolution.
Well, the tape may be authentic.
Oh, it's definitely on videotape.
It's authentic tape.
Absolutely on videotape. The subject matter involved in it, well, I concur with everything you said, Don. I really do. I hate to sit here and be a yes man, but yes.
Let me say something about CIA and infiltration and information. When I was in Richmond at the convention last year, somebody walked up to me in the back of the room and they said, you know, be careful who you talk to and be careful what you say because there's CIA plants all over this room. I got to thinking about that and wondering, well, this is a public convention. It's open to the public. Why do you need to send a plant into the room? I mean, if it's open to the public.
You have a CIA plant sitting right in front of you.
I see it. And what is it that we're saying in this open public forum that is secret that somebody needs to spy on? I mean, the logic is missing a piece there. And this is what paranoia is all about. It's not being able to form logical connections about why somebody would spy on a public convention. And people overlook that kind of thing, get steeped in this paranoia, and this is why you get letters like this.
Well, don't you think, Bill, that it's kind of like when we were all kids. I don't know about you guys, but I was a Boy Scout. And nothing in the world I love more in the summertime than going out camping, sitting around a campfire, and then scaring the hell out of everybody
with
ghost stories.
Yeah.
And people are just reliving that, I think, in many cases here in the field. Okay, we have got to move along. We've got to take time for a commercial break. Ernie, I want to thank you for your call.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Keep listening and tell your friends about the show. Okay, we are going to run a short break, and when we come back, more of UFO Tonight. My name is Don Ecker. Joining me in studio tonight, Mr. Russ Estes, television producer, Dr. William Cohn, mental health professional, and we are talking about hoaxes, sociopaths, and other garbage in the UFO field, and the short title, Bird Poop. And we are back. We're right here in studio at the Cable Radio Network. My name is Don Ecker. The show is UFOs Tonight. Let's see. We have a couple of lines open. We've got some more calls to take, but let me give those numbers out real quickly. 2-5. We only have a couple of minutes before the half-hour break. Let me go to, let's see, we have Dave calling us from Yucaipa. Is that video, Dave?
Yeah, hi. I'm very pleased to talk to the new co-star of Hard Copy and the two stars of Quality of the Messenger.
Well, Dr. Cohn is right here. Russ just got up to run outside real quickly, but he should be back momentarily. But you got Bill Cohn and I.
Right, well, I realize time is really short, so I'll probably have to continue this after the break, but... First
well,
of all,
make it quick, Dave. I mean, real quick, you know?
What do you want, Dave?
Yeah, here's Russ. He slid back in here.
Well, just because you're sitting there on your big high horses with your own radio show, I figured I'd mention that I would mention that we have our own UFO Clearinghouse television show starting on the 19th on the ASC satellite.
And you didn't invite me?
Yeah, Russ, we already mentioned you on the first show, you big... Bird poop you?
You did.
We said we gave a plug for your current series called
Dare to Ask Why.
Dare to Ask Why. Thank you. And also, of course, we're going to be showing a lot of UFO clips. And like I said, I'm the only guest and one of the three famous video people that's always kicked off the air on this show. So goodbye.
Hey, Dave. Dave.
I think
he left.
He hung up on you, but I love that.
And
guy.
I was going to tell him I loved him, but there he is.
Yes, he's a sweetheart.
Let's go to, we still got time, I think, to take a phone call. Let's go to Ron, who's calling us from San Gabriel on Crown Gable.
San Gabriel? San Gabriel.
That's all right. I'm from the East Coast. What can I say?
Okay, yeah.
What's on your mind, Ron?
Well, I've always been a UFO skeptic, and I was wondering, do extraterrestrials have small Howard Stern penises?
Oh,
boo.
What can I say? There are morons everywhere. What's the name of that place?
Wait a minute.
Camarillo?
I know somebody he can hang out with.
Who's that? Arlie Bird?
That's the guy.
All right. Hey, we are right at the top of the hour. We have got to take our top of the hour break. When we come back, more of UFOs tonight. My name is Don Ecker. Joining me in studio, Mr. Russ Estes, television producer, and Bill Cohn, clinical psychologist. And hey, we've got a whole lot more show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this.